Amen. Let's give another round of applause to our praise team this morning. Helping us. Well, good morning, all. I didn't get to do my usual greeting. I had something a little more important to do today. That baptism is always a special occasion for family and friends, but for the whole body of Christ, understanding the path that he has chosen to walk with our Lord and Savior. So we should all feel a little pep in our step this morning, not knowing where God's going to take him, but knowing it's the right place. Amen. So today, let us not tarry too much longer. I know it's nice out. Everybody has some kind of plan, something they want to get to, but I won't hold you too long. But I do want to talk about Romans today. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. If you have your Bibles or your phones, R-O-M-A-N-S. And it's the sixth chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 14. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. And I'm actually going to read from the NIV version. So it may be a little different. But Paul writes as thus, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." Verse 11, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Father God, we offer ourselves to you now. We come to you with expectation, with an anticipation of receiving a word, a message that will touch us, that will draw us closer to you, that will reveal more of you to us and how you are working in our lives. We ask that you empty our hearts, empty our minds, that we are an open vessel to receive what it is you have for each and every one of us. Lord, I ask that you consecrate me now by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. So which way are you going to choose? There's your way, my way, and then there's God's way. They're very distinct in their differentiation. Two paths, that we can choose at any moment in our lives, at any second. We make choices, thousands, millions of them during the course of a day. And in each choice, each path, God's way or my way. I have a ritual in our house that we go through every day. I have two little kids. And so each morning we have to get them ready for school. And we try to do the same things every day. But when you're working with a three-year-old and a six-year-old, it's kind of hard to get them to buy in sometimes. So it takes them a little longer. They don't necessarily go along with our program. But me and my wife, we tag team and we get up and we get them going, we get them together, we know what we're trying to do. And every time, never fails, there comes a point where I have to do the three-year-old's hair. And it turns into a little game because she doesn't want to get her hair done. Even though she does, but she doesn't. So she runs and she avoids and she ducks and she dodges. And inevitably, I corner her and I say, look, we can either do this the hard way or we can do this the easy way. And she giggles and she wants to get away from me again, and we end up doing it the hard way. I have to grab her and hold her still and do her hair and get it in a bun real quick, tie it up, and send her off. And one of these days, maybe we'll do it the easy way. And maybe Dad will actually make her hair look good. But until then, grace is upon me. But that's how we are, right? God is saying, look, I'm going to get this done one way or the other. We can do it the easy way, or we can do it the hard way. But I love you too much to let you go out in this world with raggedy hair. I'm going to fix you. I'm going to make you mine. I've redeemed you. I've claimed you. But how are we going to let it play itself out? Because we have a choice. Yes, we've chosen Christ. We've all said, Lord, I invite you into my life. This is yours. But then what happens after that? See, salvation comes by grace. But the path we walk, it does come with choices. So in the scripture today, we're going to look at how we can differentiate between our way and God's way. See, in the writing we find Paul, and he's talking to the Romans. He's talking to a group of Christians who are living in a city that is very advanced. Many gods, many challenges, many ways of doing things. They have options. They have choices. They don't need Christ for salvation. They feel that they are at the top of the mountain. They're in the best civilization in the world. And here's Paul asking them to give up things, to sacrifice things, to choose a way of life that's different, narrower, a little harder maybe, than the freedoms that they think they have. See, the world tells us that as long as you have access, as long as you have money and the abilities to do things, then you're okay. Everything's all right. It doesn't get into our souls, our spirit. The world is more concerned with the outside, how we look, how we act, the appearance of things. But God understands that the enemy knows how the outside can corrupt our inside. And so we have to be concerned with the inside, regardless of what we think is going on the outside. And therefore, Christ addresses the idea of sin. And we know that grace has washed us free from sin. Right? God came. He died on a cross so that we would be forgiven of our sins. And so when we accept Christ, we are washed clean. His blood purifies us. So we are free from sin. Doesn't mean we won't sin. Doesn't mean we're still not sinners. So how do we differentiate that? Well, Paul says, shall we go on sinning? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase. Meaning that, so the more we sin, it just means the more grace we have. I can do whatever I want. I've been saved from sin. Even if I do commit these acts, I know that if I come to God and I say, Lord, I'm sorry, He's going to forgive me. This is true. But what does He say? Does that mean that we should sin more? Paul says, by no means. Why? Because we are those who have died to sin. See, sin is supposed to be dead in us. It has no life. It has no place. So we separate ourselves from the old way, the sin way. And we're born as a new creation, right? That's what we claim. We're new creatures in Christ. Does that mean I'm never going to sin again? No. But what it does mean is that I have turned and I recognize my old ways. I see them clearly. God has separated me from them. So as I look back over my life, as I reflect on my decision-making, the processes I used to do, the way I used to operate, maybe I have been freed from thievery and stealing and lying. Well, hallelujah, and here's your cookie. But the fact is, it's deeper than that. Maybe on the outside, we don't do corruptible things, but on the inside, our thinking, do we still hate? Do we still harbor things for people? Do we still gossip? And that's our way of communicating negatively. Are we actually open to others, to loving on them? These are the places God is trying to move us, the hard things He's trying to remove from us. But we have grace. Dietrich Bonhoeffer calls this kind of thinking a cheap grace. Means that, yes, we are justified from our sin, but we are not justified from being a sinner. Grace alone does everything. Grace alone wipes us clean in the Father's eyes. But it still doesn't mean that we should continue in our old ways as we examine who we used to be. Am I still angry? Do I still have lustful thoughts? Am I still manipulating people to get my way? Am I still just selfish in my thinking? Or have I turned fully? Am I open to what others have to say to me? Do I hear the criticism from a loved one and not get angry, not get defensive anymore? But I can receive it because I understand it's from a place of love. How much has love increased in my life? Paul says we count ourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Alive in His love, alive in what He's trying to do in us and through us. Maybe you know somebody like this in their life that they feel they can't even come to church. They feel the life they've led is too much baggage. I'm carrying around too much. Maybe you ask them, hey, why don't you come out and just come with me to church one time? And say, yeah, I will. But I got to get a few things straightened out first. You know anybody like that? Maybe you were there at one point in your life. I'm just not quite where God can receive me. I'm not quite in that place, but I want to be. But see, we've all fallen short. And so we come to Him. And we say, yes, we come to You, Lord. We receive Your grace. We're happy to receive it. But now can we witness to that person who's too scared to come? Can we relate to them? That's where we're alive in Christ. Being alive in Christ sees that opportunity and says, hey, brother, hey, sister, I'm not going to let you beat yourself up like this. I claim you in the name of Jesus that He's forgiven you of all that. You need to come to Him. I was like you once. I didn't think I was good enough, but you know what? I just surrendered. I said, Lord, I give up all that I am. I let you be the leader of my life. I don't want to be a slave to sin anymore. I'm giving up my old ways. I know it holds me down. I feel like I'm drowning in my life. I'm suffocating in my selfishness. Lord, can you take me out of this? And he'll say, yes. My grace is enough. My love is efficient. It'll overwhelm anything that you have that you think is holding you back from me. Paul says nothing can separate us from his love. So does the sin increase so that grace may grow greater? No. Our love increases. The love that he places inside of us. God has given us a new set of instructions, but sometimes we choose to ignore them. We want to go the world's way. It's an easier way. Everybody's doing it. Why not just join in? Do as they are doing. It seems to work for most of them. I can get ahead in my workplace if I just do the things I think they say to need, right? Don't take blame for anything. Blame somebody else. Hide my problems. Don't ask questions. I can get ahead in this world if I'm selfish. That's what they tell us. If I'm competitive, if I beat out the other person, I can be the one on top. See, the world has a way of telling us one thing that's so good. And at the same time, it's corrupting our inside. It's corrupting what God is trying to do. God doesn't want us competing. Actually, the actual root word of that word, compete, means to come together. It means to strive as one. A group competes. An individual is just lost. That's what God is calling us to. His way is our way in his body. When we come together, when we put down our individual ideas, our individual agendas of what I think I need, and we say, what's best for all? And we talked about that last week being Mother's Day and how a big part of a mother's role is taking care of the family. I know if I had to do all that I see my wife has to do, I would need an assistant. I guess that's why I got married. Don't tell her that. Because she does, she takes care of everyone. She's thinking about everybody's needs. What's going to happen? What has happened? That's what God has called us to. Not just ourselves. Not just our way. The way of death and sin, but to be an instrument for his glory. This kind of grace has a cost because it asks us to give up of ourselves, to give up what we think is valuable to us. The things that we thought the world was saying you need to have. God is saying, give it all up. Whatever it is, give it all up and watch what I give you. Paul says, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Have we done that today? If you're struggling with something, you know someone who's struggling. Maybe you don't have any struggles, but you know someone that's struggling. The key is, have we offered ourselves up to him? Have we truly given these things over? We come to church and we have altar call and we confess. We say, Lord, I want to lay this at your feet right now in Jesus' name. Take this from me, Lord. But then we walk outside of these buildings, and what happens? We just go ahead and take that thing right back, don't we? I'll deal with it, Lord. You're taking a little too long. I need this dealt with right now. And God's saying, I'm working it out. I have a plan. But in my plan, I want to show you that it's me doing it and not you. See, when we take it on, we're taking it on. We're making it happen. And when there's a result, we take credit for that result, good or bad. But when we give it over to God, we say, Lord, I'm giving it up to you. I don't need it anymore. I don't want it anymore. I'm not going to allow it to have space in my mind. I'm not going to give it presence in my heart to block off what you're trying to do in me. When we give that up, when we surrender it up truly, then he takes it up. And then we're walking around one day and here it comes in the form of somebody else as a blessing. Or here it comes in the way of us helping somebody. And we're giving back and we say, oh, wow, look at that. Look how God just showed up. Remember a few years ago, I'd entered a contest to try to win a prize. I had an art piece done, and the art piece was about people being homeless. And it just showed their faces. It just simply had their faces. And it was titled, See Me. The idea was that, you know, we walk around and we just don't really see homeless people. We try not to look at them. And I thought I might win a prize from this. So I went to the finals, and they had other people there, and I was all anticipating, and I didn't win. Came in, I think, third place. So I was disappointed. And my wife kind of consoled me. She said, well, you know, God had a plan. People saw it. It was a blessing because she's an exhorter. God bless her. But then a few weeks later, I got a phone call. Gentleman called me and said, yeah, you're the homeless guy, right? I said, well, no, I have a house. He said, no, you're the one that helps the homeless. I said, well, and I could have said, no, wrong number. But the Spirit said, aha. So I said, oh, okay, what's going on? He said, well, yeah, I saw your piece. You know, I saw it and I figured, you know, I'd call you because I'm down here from New York with my wife and we need some help. I said, okay. So I met the man in there, and I met him and his wife. His wife was in a wheelchair. And he said, look, I just need help getting her Social Security card. Because if I can get her card, we can apply for these benefits and the rest will take care of itself. I said, okay. So I helped him. Got Social Security card, got their benefits. And now they have an apartment. And I still talk with them. I still bring them food whenever I can. I go and I talk with them and I pray with them. And they've been saved and their whole lives have been changed. Why? Because I wanted to win a prize. Right? Because I did something for me. And God turned that thing and he used it for his goodness. See, we think we know what we're doing. We think we know what we want. But if we surrender it to him, we're aware, then he'll use the things that we think are for us for his good works in the world. Amen? And that's how he works. I'll leave you all with this. The last line says, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. We are not under sin anymore. Doesn't mean we'll never sin again. But it means in our lives, we need to consciously make the effort to give up the old self. Be aware of the old self. And make your choice to choose the new way. It's a tough choice. Because we like the comforts of the old way. But if we've surrendered over to him, then it won't be comfortable anymore. If we surrendered it all over, then that new way It might seem different, but what it gives back is immeasurable. As the band comes forward, I'm reminded of my favorite disciple. Well, I shouldn't play favorites, right? But old Peter, Christ saw Peter the first time, he said, "Follow me." Peter dropped everything and followed. And Peter was always the one quick to with an answer because he wanted to be loved so badly by Christ. And then when Christ was captured, he denied him, right? He was the first one to say, I didn't know him. But yet when Christ came back and rose in his new self, he went and saw Peter and called him. And Peter didn't deny him then. He jumped out the boat and ran to the shore because he knew that voice. And isn't that who we are? We may have denied him in our lives. We may still at times choose our old ways of doing things. But if we hear his voice, run. Run to him. If there is a one this day, if you do not know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you now to come and start your new life in him. Receive him. Or maybe you're looking for a church home. I invite you to join this station of Zion and begin your walk with Christ. In his way. Is there one?